The definition that I like most is by the English philosopher Iris Murdoch, who said that love is the very difficult realization that something other than oneself is real. So it's the very difficult, so that the word difficult is there in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the realization, so that it's a process, it takes time, that something other than oneself, so that you are not just the center of the universe, is real. So for me, love is, for example, the two of us sitting here in the room, and maybe the room is too hot, or at least you think the room is too hot, and you say, you know, can I open the window? I don't think the room is too hot, and I say no. So we have different versions of reality there already. And what love is about is for me to do almost the impossible, which is to imagine that for you, the room is too hot, and that I have to leave the centre of gravity for myself and experience something that I'm not experiencing.
Is that not just compromise?
No, I think it's the imagination, and I think it's hard work, and I think it's ultimately the great dynamic of love is that I do leave myself, and that I'm able, for fleeting moments only, to experience life outside myself. So for me, that's love.
Oh, what is not love?
Not love, I think, is that when I'm not able to bear the fact that you're going to be forever separate from me, and that your will is not my will all of the time, and that I don't like that because it's a threat to my will, and it means that ultimately we are not joined, and that I am alone. So love is the paradox that says you are both, in terms of a relationship now and of any kind of relationship, mm-hmm. together, and at the same time, and as importantly, alone.
Mm. I mean, that's all, I suppose, very theoretical in one way, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of people in today's world, love really has been trivialised to an extraordinary extent. You know, I, symbol of the heart, you. We'll be all over the place now for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And the fact that a lot of people won't get that makes them feel unloved.
Yeah. You see, I think the one thing that, the problem with the way that we're experiencing love now, for example, the Greeks had 16 different words for love, and it went from all kinds of private relationships right up into the public realm. And I think that's what's happened, and the problem with love now is that we have just one pit stop. We have to go to this four-letter word for almost all of our entire kind of instincts to get something, to be in relationship with something other than ourselves.
Mm.
So that the fact that if we don't have a romantic reflection back, it's almost like we're not seen by the world. But in fact, love is about all different layers of communication and of communion. And so the fact that, you know, that it's romantic love that we are kind of
exposed to all the time.
Exposed to. And, yeah, and almost, now here's a heavy word, but almost polluted by means that, you know, as I say, that if you're not, and who really is seen romantically all of their life? It's only a glimpse, you know, that it's the candy love, you know.
Mm.
It's not the bacon and cabbage love, you know.
Yeah.
And not to say that it's not extremely important and that there's not a huge amount revealed through it, but it's not the only one. And I think that if you're hungry for love, just know that, you know, the Greeks had 16 other different words for this.
And what about the whole notion of love your enemies?
I think that all spiritual traditions have that in, because I think it's the exercise of the full human will. I think it's not about just the enemy, which we, of course, would concentrate on, but it's about the imagination, it's about the duties of love, and it's also about the real power of love.
Mm. And would that encompass forgiveness?
Absolutely. Now, I have a prayer here which I kick off the course with, and it's called the Ravensbrück Prayer, and it was pinned to the lapel of a young child. Ravensbrück was a concentration camp that was exclusively for women and children, and any amount of medical experimentation went on there. There was 50,000 killed there. And this is just, for me, this is the moment of, for me, 20th century forgiveness. So it's written by some mother pinned to the lapel of her dead child, which is found by an American soldier. O Lord, remember not only men and women of good will, but also those of ill will. Do not only remember the suffering they inflicted upon us. Remember the gifts that we gain through our sufferings. Comradeship, loyalty, courage, generosity and the greatness of heart, which is grown out of this. When they come to judgment, let all of these fruits that we have gained be their forgiveness.
But that's extraordinary. I mean, when somebody goes through something as deep as that, you know, isn't it? And I mean, that's, I suppose, the ultimate love, really, isn't
this,
it?
This is love. Yeah. This is love. This is not just about giving up your life for somebody, but this is allowing life come into life, you know? Mm-hmm. Love coming into life. In other words, that I think love is the, you asked me the definition earlier, I think it's the purest of the energies. That it's right when Christ and the Dalai Lama and all the traditions say, love your enemy. Because what they're saying is that there is nothing you can't do with love.
Can I just ask you about having this kind of love if, in fact, you don't meet somebody who also has this understanding of love?
Well, John of the Cross would say, you know, where there's no love, put love to draw love, which means that by your actions through love, you bring somebody onto another level. That love is about transformation. It's about change. Now, it doesn't mean that somebody's going to change in the way that you want them, or it doesn't mean that you're going to change somebody who's abusive or somebody who's a control freak. Mm. But what it does mean is that love can change you. And so if you're with somebody abusive or control or cold or frozen, you get out of there because you're looking for love in the wrong place. So ultimately, I think love is about a huge amount about discernment. What is going on? Is there a possibility of change? What should change? Should the other person change, or should I change? Mm. And if I'm asking the other person to change and I'm not changing myself, well, then that's not love either, because it's ultimately a dynamic, you know?
Now, you're going to bring all this together in a 10-week course in the Meltdown Institute in Dublin.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 2 hours every day.
2 hours every day. Group wisdom, I'm facilitating it. I'm going to present maybe for the first 20, 25 minutes a certain stimulus, for example, a prayer like this, or something that I think is cutting edge in terms of the different forms of love that we'll be discussing, for example, desire, embodiment, filial love, which is brotherly or sisterly love, in other words, family love, parental love, agape, the great Christian love. So there's going to be about 9 different versions of love, which we're going to explore. And the hope of that is that that people get a kind of that the word becomes their own again, because I'm tired of love selling ice cream or selling cars or selling Valentine's Days. The word love is for the soul, is for the spirit, and hopefully by discussing it, we get to give the word back to everybody.